Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Live from our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish has upset Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, yep. How about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTRadio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
And he's Eric Hansen. He's a Hall of Fame writer and the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com, covering Notre Dame athletics just for you as part of the Rivals Network. And we both welcome you to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on this Wednesday, April the 10th of 2024. We are hoping you're having a terrific spring day. Looks like a little rain the next couple of days. And it's going to rain at Augusta National tomorrow. Can't do that, Eric. It's the first round of the Masters. We can't have rain. Come on. That would be like having rain during the Super Bowl,
that'd
like we had
like
with the Colts and Bears.
An eclipse in the middle of the afternoon.
Exactly right. Wow. But it is the Masters, and us golf fans will be watching tomorrow. I'll have a Masters preview coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. My top five storylines for the first major of the golf season.
Do you want to know my top five Masters storylines? No, you don't, because I don't have any.
I was going to say.
I'm going to copy off of your paper.
I was going to say that would be.
That would be a big switch.
A major surprise, because even at your days at your previous job, nobody in that office played golf. For a sports department, not to have anyone that enjoyed playing golf, that was really strange.
Well, some of it is not having time to play golf. Bill Belinsky, now that he's retired, plays golf, I think, every Friday when it's nice. Yeah.
But retired only once a week. I need a little more than that.
Seriously?
Yeah, come on. You're retired. You got to tee it up a couple times a week.
He's got a baby grandchild.
That takes care of that.
Yeah.
Much more important.
Yep.
All right, so Eric and I are going to talk Notre Dame football coming up in our opening topics, Riley Leonard, Mitchell Evans, and then we'll just throw a curveball into everything since UConn is the newest blue blood of college basketball. They've got six titles in 25 years. Remarkable. I have a question if you can actually lose the label of being a blue blood.
Okay.
So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. We have a second Notre Dame football segment coming up at 5:30. Our Twitter question of the day involves Notre Dame football. I mean, you kind of see where we're going here. We're in spring practice mode here on the program. And in the 6 o'clock hour, I'll play back some Al Golden sound, the defensive coordinator of the Fighting Irish, that Masters preview, and our sports wagering segment, We Going to Sizzler, all coming up here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. One quick note for Purdue Boilermaker basketball fans in the area. Two Boilermakers have entered the transfer portal this afternoon. Two players coming off the bench, Mason Gillis and Ethan Morton, have jumped into the portal, man, I would take Gillis. That corner three, I swear he never missed it over the last couple of years. So Gillis and Morton into the portal for the Purdue Boilermakers. Now to our regularly scheduled programming already in progress as we focus on the Fighting Irish football team. A bit of a surprise yesterday, Riley Leonard met the media. The Fighting Irish quarterback battling for the starting job after arriving from a really nice career at Duke. But two ankle surgeries later, he's waiting for that opportunity to get out on the football field once again and truly show this coaching staff what he can do in person. They've seen it on tape. He wants to show it to them on the practice field, but he's going to have to wait just a little bit. Two sound bites before we talk about Riley Leonard. The first is just Riley from yesterday discussing, how the heck are you?
Yeah, I feel good. Physically, this is the best my ankle's felt in about 6 months now. So we're finally kind of over that hump, kind of been put through the ringer for a while now, but we're starting to figure it out, starting to feel real good. I think next week we'll be jogging, and you know, hopefully it's just uphill from there. Mentally, being able to take mental notes at practice has been really cool for me. I've been in a similar offense in the past to this, and you know, through film study and things like that, I think I'll be able to fit right into this offense, as long as I can just continue to build this chemistry, like off the field with the guys, and you know, whenever we get back in the summer, hopefully I can utilize that time to, you know, get to throw to the receivers a little more and get more reps with those guys.
The fact that he may start jogging next week, that just tells you the process right now. That new device he has on his ankle that apparently is made here in the South Bend area.
Taco brace.
Yep. It's actually helping him do a whole lot more quicker in the process, because I mentioned this to Allison Hayes yesterday. When I saw him on the practice field with that device on soon after the surgery, I'm like, whoa, but I'm not a medical surgeon. But now I understand he was out there because of that device. Without that, he's probably in a boot standing on the sideline watching.
Yeah, it's an over-the-shoe brace invented by Mike Bean from Notre Dame, who's been around Notre Dame a long time. And he said, really, that his ankle is coming along so well that it's like to keep him from rolling it or stepping in a hole or, you know, uneven pavement or something, or falling down the stairs coming down from a class before the spring game.
That's right.
But It was really interesting. I think after hearing him, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit more later, but after talking to him, I understand why there was a second surgery needed, and I feel a lot better about the chances of him being healthy.
Okay. So next up, when does Riley believe he will be anywhere close to being 100% healthy?
That's a good question. Yeah, I wish I knew the answer. I ask him every day, like, when am I going to be back fully? But it's more of like a let's see how you feel and just take it slow. I think at the end of the day, like, I know I'm missing spring ball for the most part, but it's still April, and there's no point in rushing this thing to get back for summer, even though, you know, obviously that's extremely important. But yeah, I anticipate here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I have no doubt that we can make that timeline.
Okay, so a lot is up in the air at this point. I think he's day-to-day like all of us. We'll see how it goes in time. Hey, you just want him healthy for the first practice of the fall. That probably is the goal. Ultimately, be as close to 100% healthy when that first spring practice gets underway. But Eric, you personally, do you have some concerns in the back of your mind about a player that has undergone two ankle surgeries, knowing that his feet, his ankle, his legs are vitally important for him to be the best Riley Leonard that he can be, based on the fact that he is a terrific weapon when he runs the football?
Anytime there's surgeries, you should say yes to that question. Where I kind of tamp down the concern a little bit is this isn't a history for him prior to this ankle injury that he suffered, ironically, against Notre Dame on September 30th of last year in the Duke-Notre Dame game down at Duke. And after hearing him talk about the procedure and why the second one was necessary, I also feel better about it. So basically, the first one was called a tightrope procedure, and what they were trying to do was repair the ligament that was damaged with that high ankle sprain back when Howard Cross landed on Riley Leonard in the game. And Howard Cross apologizes. Riley said he apologizes about it every day in the locker room. But he hasn't bought him dinner yet. So then why did he need a second one? They put a plate in, and the plate maybe was the wrong size for what was needed. And it's very rare that there's a problem with these plates. Well, in this case, there was. And the plate itself was causing a stress fracture. It was beginning the formation of a stress fracture. And Riley was feeling pain in that ankle, not from the repaired ligament, but from this plate and what it was doing. So the second procedure was they go back and they look, and the ligament's great. So they put a new plate in, and that is working. That is not causing a stress fracture. The stress fracture is healing. He's going to be cleared to jog next week. His biggest thing, though, is he can't go too fast. They don't want him to go too fast with his recovery, but that's where he was when he answered that question. It was a little bit different upstairs with the print media, but basically what he was saying, it's a give and take. They ask him, how's this going? And then they change the timeline based on certain markers. But he goes, if you could be inside my body, you wouldn't even feel injured. And I thought, well, if we could be inside your body, our lives would be a lot easier. But even with the ankle brace, I think, Darren, you mentioned if he's ready to go by fall practice, I actually think summer's going to be critical for him. I think, by June, and I think he's way easily going to meet that marker unless something really crazy happens. Because he does have to catch up on some of this chemistry and timing with receivers.
That's the concern.
Right. And that's going to be the summer mission for him. And he knows that. And he and I talked about that a little bit. And it was in the article I did. Again, we have longer time with those guys, so we're able to go in a little bit more depth. But he's really interesting guy. I think the story is worth reading. It's on our website, insideindysports.com. But that's going to be a big thing for him. Where he's not playing catch-up as much is not all the receivers are 100% right now. Jordan Faison's playing lacrosse largely, so he's not forming chemistry. Jaden Thomas has been in a green jersey, which means not fully ready to go, so he hasn't been there for most of spring practice. Deion Colsey missed some time. Bo Collins isn't on campus yet. Logan Saldalte isn't on campus yet. Mitchell Evans is coming back from an ACL. Kevin Bauman is coming back from an ACL. Eli Raridan is just starting to go 100% in practice. So there's a lot of receivers nobody's had chemistry with yet, and all of them need to take care of that this summer.
Well, the positive through all this is you have a veteran offensive coordinator in Mike Denbrock overseeing what's happening with this Fighting Irish offense. And the good news is this. Don't just look at LSU tape and say, This is who Mike Denbrock is.
Right.
Mike Denbrock can be whomever he needs to be. And what I'm saying is, Jaden Daniels was an electric talent that LSU got from Arizona State. Mike and the staff turned him into an elite college football player. He had a ton of talent coming out of high school. Didn't come together at Arizona State, went to LSU in his second year? Or was it third
he
year?
He was at ASU 2 years and LSU two years.
Okay. So the first year improvement, the second year became a Heisman Trophy winner. Mike Denbrock doesn't need a Jaden Daniels type player to run his offense, or as he likes to say, the Notre Dame offense. It's not Mike Denbrock's offense, it's the Notre Dame offense. But Eric, it can be Steve Angeli, it could be Kenny Minchie, it can be Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard and Steve Angeli have different traits. I did learn that Steve Angeli is not afraid to lower the shoulder in the Sun Bowl, which might have made me a little nervous, but Riley Leonard is a much more elaborate runner of the football than Angeli. Hey, they're different guys. But Mike Denbrock doesn't need a quote-unquote dual-threat quarterback for his offense to run at its best. If you have a pocket passing quarterback, Eric, Mike Denbrock's going to be just fine. So anybody that's worried about, wow, these two guys might be different, or Minchie or Carr, it doesn't matter. He's going to make it work with the talent that he has.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if it were Tommy Reese, he would be able to make it work. I don't think that's an ideal fit, a guy that runs not at all. Yeah, he's going to be able to make it work. I think one thing in talking to the quarterbacks yesterday that was really insightful for me, because we got to talk to all of them except for C.J. Carr, was what makes the Denbrock offense go. And one of the things that makes it go is the quarterbacks – are able to change the plays at the line of scrimmage with much more frequency and latitude than what happened with the Jared Pons, which you had a sixth-year guy in Hartman that you would think could play chess at the line of scrimmage and wasn't allowed to do that.
I don't think any of us quite understood how that all worked. The answers seemed to vary.
Another thing that was kind of interesting was how in practice – they don't baby the quarterbacks. They want them making decisions on the practice field, so they're used to doing it in the game. Now, when they come over to the sideline, they can say, okay, did I do this right, or was it? But they're not going to stand over them and give them the answers and feed them the answers. They're going to have to come up with that on the practice field. Another thing that was really interesting in talking to the quarterbacks was how they attack defenses, and they're looking for weaknesses on the defense. And again, this is some of the adjustments at the line of scrimmage. So you're not just saying, well, we're going to do this. You're looking for that weak spot in the defense, saying, we got a great matchup. Let's say both running backs are in the play, and you see the other team not in nickel. So they're in their base defense. And you say, guess what? We're going to motion Jeremiah Love out so that he's on the perimeter and he's going to have a linebacker on him and try to keep up with him going down the field. Guess who's going to win that pass play? So those are the things that I'm really excited about.
As we think about the fall and Mike Denbrock being the offensive coordinator and maybe Riley Leonard as the starting quarterback. He would be a first-time starter at Notre Dame. Steve Angeli, if he starts, he'd be a second-time starter. And the Irish would be running this new-look Fighting Irish offense. The fact that the speakers going into the helmets,
yep.
Have we heard, is it going to be like the NFL where they're going to cut off with 15 seconds on the play clock? Because then you can't communicate coach to quarterback. I wonder if it's going to be no restrictions. Because if you can talk to the quarterback all the way through, the adjustments that you're talking about, this just came to mind, Mike Denbrock or whomever is talking to the quarterback with the play call can help with those adjustments at the line of scrimmage. So that's what I'm wondering. How long will the voice be allowed to be in the quarterback's ear?
I didn't talk to Mike Denbrock about it because I had Al Golden on Saturday. Tyler had Mike Denbrock, but I did talk to Al Golden about it. And Notre Dame is using it, and right now the rule as it's proposed has the 15-second cutoff. And he said because of that, they are using a blend of talking through the helmet and then sideline signals, because there's a lot that goes on in those last 15 seconds on both sides of the ball. So that's where it is right now. It could change. They could modify it and say, let's let it go all the way to the snap. But right now, that's where it is. There's the 15-second cutoff.
Hmm. So we're still going to have the big cards with weird logos on it, more than likely to help with adjustments inside of 15 seconds.
And we'll still have to keep an eye on certain programs.
I will say this, as a quarterback, I'm not sure I want all that in my ear with 2-3 seconds on the play clock. You've got to lock in at some point, and you've got to be able.
That's why they're teaching these quarterbacks now to make those decisions, and that's why they're doing it every day in practice.
Wouldn't you agree? Would you want that person? That's like you writing a game story on Deadline. Would you want someone talking next to you? Well, you've lived that, but.
Well, there's times, you know this, there's times when I've been on the phone where there's another alternate feed coming through.
Yes.
And I say, Darren, I'm hearing voices in my head, and that's our little signal of saying, up, there's a button he's got to push somewhere to fix that somebody left on. So, and that was really difficult to do. Trying to focus on your question and hearing something else in your ear. So yeah, I would be okay with it shutting off for the last 15 seconds.
There might be a couple of media members that jabber a lot while people are writing game stories.
Oh my God.
That could be.
I used to go to the library because of that.
I love it. We'll keep the names until you write the book. Okay. In your book, you can say
that would be
are.
A really boring book.
526, Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat on WSBT Radio, WSBTRadio.com, and our free WSBT Radio app, also live on the Twitch app at the current time. Well, Notre Dame tight end Mitchell Evans, what a pleasant surprise he was last year for the Fighting Irish. 29 catches, 422 yards, 14 yards per catch with a touchdown, and then a harmless play against Pittsburgh. He tears his ACL. That requires surgery and is lost for the year. Not a part of spring practice. He's doing work, but not on the practice field at the current time. And here's Mitchell Evans, a quick conversation with the Notre Dame media.
We got some dudes because, you know, we got a couple guys out, so I've always kind of known our room is deep, and it's just Notre Dame. So, but now that we have a couple guys out, some guys have to step up, and especially today we had a lot more live situations. So it was good to see some guys get out there and get loose.
And then where are you at kind of with your recovery and rehab?
I'm about, 5 months and some change, but I feel good where I'm at. My strength, mobility, and all that's pretty good for where I'm at, so I feel really good.
And then just observing practice, what have you kind of seen out of the linebackers so far?
Yeah, we had a couple guys leave with the draft and all that stuff, but yeah, they're some hard hitters in that group. They're young, but they're good. They're really fast. That's the way they're fast. They're quick to the coverage. They're quick to the flat. They're very mobile. So I'm excited for that. Yeah.
What are the mental reps like for you? And is there some excitement from the sideline? Like, you seeing Den Brock's offense? Are you seeing it kind of coming to life?
Oh yeah, it's exciting because he can bring any element to football to, you know, Notre Dame, and like we got a deep threat, we got a short yardage threat, we got whatever we need at any situation. He can bring it out of his design. The tight end moves around the field, like everywhere we on, but one to the boundary, one to the field, one motion, we're the motion guy. It's like any element we need, he can do that, and just a lot today. There's a lot of big plays, so it's very exciting to see. You know, some of those young guys step up and, you know, see what they can do. So,
Eric, you've got Mitchell Evans, also at tight end, Eli Reardon, Cooper Flanagan, who got some significant playing time as a freshman last year. Then you've got a guy that does a little bit of everything, and Davis Sherwood, Kevin Bauman coming back from another injury. You got freshman Jack Larson coming in. So what is your perception of the possibilities from the tight end position this year, knowing that injuries have been a problem for a handful of guys on that list?
I think I'd feel more uneasy about it if Cooper Flanagan hasn't just continued to surprise since he's been on campus. I from the recruiting industry people, they seemed a little lukewarm on him, and he came in a lot bigger and stronger and ready, college ready. And when injuries happened, he was ready to step up. In the spring, when you talk to some of the defensive players, they are like, Cooper Flanagan is having a good spring. And so I feel good about that. Eli Reardon, I had a chance to talk to Mitchell Evans on Saturday. He said Eli Reardon is a freak, and they have really high hopes for what he can do. I think Mitchell Evans is on schedule to come back, so you feel good about that there being three guys that you can really count on. Davis Sherwood is a little bit different kind of a tight end, more kind of a fullback kind of guy. I don't know that Jack Larson is going to make a big dent this year. I mean, it's not like Michael Mayer coming in the door, but he's, you know, the standard for tight ends is very high, and I think he fits in the Endy mold. Bauman is the guy you just don't know. He's missed so many seasons already, big chunks of seasons, that you just wonder. I mean, coming in the door, he was very highly regarded. He was in Michael Mayer's class, and there wasn't a lot of separation in terms of where those guys were ranked. I mean, Mayer was the tight end in the class, but Bauman was very highly thought of, and you can see why when he's healthy. It's just you wonder if you're going to be able to count on that.
From outside the Goog, with Bauman, I think you expect nothing, and anything you get is a major bonus
right
at this time. Plus, the perception is with the way that Mike Denbrock wants to run the football by spreading the field more, that you might have less tight ends on the field this year. So there would not be that need to necessarily be, you know, whopping three or four deep. You always want to be. But at the same time, if you have injuries at the tight end spot, the flexibility of this year's offense allows you to have success in a different way.
It does. And Mike wants to have all that in his holster. And so that he can play matchups, because there's teams where Notre Dame can probably bully, where they could play multiple tight ends and push it down the field on the ground. And there's going to be times where there's teams that don't match up well in the back end of their defense. And Notre Dame has a lot of speed. Now, again, we need to see if that speed translates to production. And that's why I'm really eager for both the media-only scrim, you know, media-only, not that we're playing, but we're the only ones allowed in, a media-only scrimmage on Saturday, and then the blue-gold game the following Saturday. And just seeing, is that going to translate into more catches? Is it going to translate into stretching the field and then opening other things up? Those are the things that I want to see in those scrimmages that we can certainly guess about, but I think they're based on, I don't know, air. I mean, we've seen one full practice, and that was without pads, so this will be really interesting on Saturday.
This is probably the least amount of full practice padded time for spring practice we've had in a few years.
It feels like
that. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll rev up on Saturday.
It'll rev up on Saturday.
And we got the Blue Gold game on April 20th. Eric and I will have the call live here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We're still deciding who's going to do play-by-play and who's going to be the analyst.
Is that right?
We're going to do a coin flip right before kickoff.
Okay.
Are you ready for either assignment?
I'll say, look at that. And say, wait, I'm on radio.
All right. We're running a little behind. Let's save our college basketball blue blood question for tomorrow. Fair?
Okay. That sounds good.
You'll have 24 hours to continue to think about it. All right. We'll take a timeout. I've got a handful of my own Notre Dame football questions that I want to throw at Eric. We'll have a discussion on those topics and more as Budweiser's weekday sports beat rolls on for this Wednesday. It is 5:33 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. .5:38 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser and their product, Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. By Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger. Now with three locations serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. By First State Bank. Committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. And by Bethel University Athletics. Signups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. He's Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. My name is Darren Pritchett. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday evening. We move along to segment two of the 5 o'clock hour. And I've got a handful of Notre Dame topics that I want to kick around with Eric here on the program, as we are just now 10 days away, believe it or not, from the annual Blue Goal game. Again, heard right here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Eric, I want to start on the defensive side of the football. This kid has been on the tip of many Irish fans' tongues for a couple of years now. One of those young linebackers that so many people wanted to see kick all the veteran guys out of the way so we can get these young linebackers on the field. And I'm talking about Jalen Snead. Coming out of high school, Eric, an in-demand defensive player, but his ability to get on the field, it's been tough over the first couple of years. And having veteran linebackers in front of him has made the challenge even more difficult. Do you believe he has made progress this spring, and how big of a spring is this for Jalen Snead?
Let's start with that part of the question first. I think this is the defining, Notre Dame defining moment for Jalen Snead. This is his time. He's getting an opportunity. He's on a trajectory where he could be the starting will linebacker next year when Jack Kaiser turns 30 and goes on with his life. I'm just kidding. He's 24, or he'll be 24 this fall. And so he's been this breathtaking athlete who has not become a better-than-average linebacker. He's been a good linebacker, a niche player, and he needs to turn into that second part of it, and it's happening this spring. To what extent, we don't know yet, but I will say this. Max Bulla, the linebacker's coach, said the other day on Tuesday that no one in that linebacker group, and you think about who's in that linebacker group, no one has been more locked in since bowl practices to now than Jalen Snead on what his mission is. And Al Golden also seconded that idea when I had talked to him on Saturday about how excited he is about Jalen Snead and the progress he's making. Now, we need to still be having this conversation in August that he's still coming. He's at the Rover, which probably isn't his natural position. We kind of feel like at this point there's Rover things he can do, but is he a three-down Rover? He has the athletic ability to do that. I don't know that he's going to have the instincts to do that. I think the guy that does have that is Jaden Osbury, who is absolutely coming. I have too many football crushes on the linebackers because they're all these guys that I really am excited about. Kingston Viliamuasa, Drake Bowen, even Preston Zinner, who's not talked about a lot. Kahanu Kia, certainly Jack Kaiser, but these two, Jalen Snead and Jaden Osbury, could be game changers. They could lift a defense to another level because they're that good of athletes in different ways. Jaden Osbury has more of the Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah background and skill set. Jalen Snead has that kind of athletic ability without that background. He was more of a kind of a pass rusher guy who got forced to play quarterback on his team because they would have been awful without him playing quarterback. He was the best athlete on the team. Let's put him at quarterback. And so his evolution has come a little bit slower, but he's locked in. So long way of saying I'm excited about where this might head.
You never give up on a player. But let me ask this. Are we getting close to the point, if not now, when, for Jalen Snead?
That's kind of what Al Golden said, if not now, then when? And he expects it to be now. I mean, Al Golden is expecting this is going to happen. But if it didn't, there's just too much linebacker talent coming that he would get passed over.
What are the traits for Jalen Snead that could benefit this year's Fighting Irish defense? What are some of his top traits if we ever saw him in the field consistently?
Speed and hitting impact. He needs to be in the right places. But, I mean, if he did a combine, an NFL combine testing, he would test incredibly well in the 40. He would have jumps that were great. You know, he would have the lateral quickness that you get in the three-cone drill and so forth. So though that's where that would show up. It's just translating that to production. You know, does he, if you could put, you know, have J.D. Bertrand's experience in Jalen Snead's head, then you would see this. You'd see an All-American. Jalen Snead would be an All-American. I mean, Notre Dame between Jalen Smith and Jalen Snead didn't have a lot of top 50, not even top 100 caliber linebackers. They didn't have many of them. Then all of a sudden they start stacking them. They get Jalen Snead, Drake Bowen, and Kingston Viliamu-Asa all in a row, plus guys that are just kind of outside of that tier in the next tier. So they are getting very athletic, very talented at linebacker.
Let's go to the back end of the Irish defense for a moment. Rod Heard II comes from Northwestern to be a part of this Al Golden defense. If you believe in the Pro Football Focus numbers, he was the second best player on one of the more surprising teams in all of college football, the Northwestern Wildcats. Eric, what do the Irish need from Rod Heard II?
They need a guy that plays like a veteran, and safety isn't his experienced position. He's been a nickel basically his career at Northwestern. He was really good at it. Can he be an every down safety? If he can't be, there are two sophomores that have surprised this spring, and that's Adon Schuler and Luke Talish, especially Adon Schuler. And there's some good athletes in the younger, you know, in the freshmen and so forth. But those two are ready. So what they need from Rod Heard is a guy that doesn't make mistakes, that's going to make plays. And you look at his tackle total for a nickel, it's really high, and it's not a guy that's making tackles down the field when somebody catches the ball on him, although I guess he does that too. But he is able to be physical in the run game. And somebody asked me in chat who might be a surprise. I thought, gosh, we've revealed a lot of them. I would say Rod Heard, because he's not here yet in the fall. If he's better than what Adon Schuler has been showing this spring, and significantly better, then Notre Dame is going to be really good at the safety position.
Okay. Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you, talking Notre Dame football on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. We love to say the name Boubacar Traore.
We do.
He is a young defensive lineman for the Fighting Irish and made a little impact on the team late last year. Why could Boubacar Traore become a household name this year?
Because everybody likes to say Boubacar, and it's rolls off the tongue, but also because he's a really talented guy who showed up as a freshman where he didn't play a lot of high school football. He missed almost his entire senior year with an ankle injury, and they had pretty restrictive measures during COVID in Massachusetts, so he didn't play a lot of high school football. He missed a lot of game action, and yet he shows up at Notre Dame with a motor and a body that was ready to go. And as he's getting bigger and stronger, he's, I mean, I think at worst he's going to be the number two Viper, and I think he's going to jump over junior Tui Halamaka. He's got a burst that Junior doesn't have. Junior's incredibly smart, plays the run well. Traore, if he can play the run as well as he can pass rush, he's going to be hard to keep from getting all the way to the top of the depth chart. But Jordan Botello's improved. Jordan Botello had a great Sun Bowl, and Jordan Botello's had a good spring so far. I'm really eager to see him in the scrimmage. But Boubacar is the guy that you're kind of saying, okay, this is the future at that position. When Jordan Botello leaves, I think he's the starter, and he's going to push for playing time this year.
We're going to spend a little more time in tomorrow's opening segment talking about the Notre Dame quarterbacks, but to kind of start the conversation, I want to ask you about Kenny Minchie for a second, because it is so easy to forget about him from this standpoint. Riley Leonard comes from Duke to be the starter.
Yep.
You want to talk about him. Steve Angeli, who dazzled us in the Sun Bowl. A lot of people want him to be the starter. We talk about him. C.J. Carr's the young pup with an amazing upside. We talk about him. Then there's the number three guy, Kenny Minchie. We kind of have to force ourselves, Eric, to talk about him. He's just, it feels like he's in the middle of this big quarterback sandwich, and the outer edges of it are really good. You're not going to cut off, you know, the edges of the bread. So what do you believe are the strengths of Kenny Minchie? What would show up if we ever got to see him over an extended period of time?
The snapshot of Kenny Minchie you see now, so he's still a freshman. I mean, he's listed as a sophomore now because we're talking about people in terms of what they are in the 2024 season. He's a guy that can make really difficult plays. He's a guy that can make wow plays. Can he make the routine plays consistently? Nope, not yet. That's the biggest difference between C.J. Carr and Kenny Minchie is C.J. Carr makes those consistent routine plays, and his game will grow in making the wow plays. Kenny Minchie had to be Caleb Williams as a scout team quarterback last year going into that mid-October matchup, and Al Golden was so impressed. He, like, thanked him publicly, went and thanked him personally for giving them such a prep because he was able to do – I'm not saying he's Caleb Williams, but he was able to do Caleb Williams-type things. He was able to give them enough of a look that Notre Dame was ready for the real Caleb Williams when they played him, and they sacked him a whole bunch of times and really held him down. I mean, it was Caleb Williams, maybe his worst game of his college career. So Kenny Minchie is athletic. He's got arm talent. He's the wild card in the quarterback race because you can't say he's always going to be the fourth best out of that group because he could be the best out of that group. But he has the smallest window of opportunity probably because C.J. Yeah. Carr is coming. Steve Angeli may be ready to be the starter next year if he stays. Riley Leonard, I think, is going to be the starter this year. And so Kenny Minchie has that little sliver of what if this happens. And, you know, he's very intelligent, too, and very mature kid.
It's really unfair, but I think a lot of us, and I'll include myself, it almost feels like Minchie's number four. Because Carr is coming so quickly and he appears to be the future.
It does, but
it's not fair.
If either of those guys are four, I mean, there's springs where Brian Kelly would have died to have Kenny Minchie on the roster, let alone be the third or fourth option. He would have loved to have him in 2010 when he was the new coach.
Buckner, Pine, Carr. That would have been an interesting spring and fall camp. See where I'm going there?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Carr would have won the job, but just saying it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
It would have been very, very interesting. But I also feel like C.J. Carr, this is going to come across as a negative and a shot, but I don't mean it to be. But I truly believe C.J. Carr has a better group of people around him to build the foundations to help him become the starter now compared to that situation I just hypothetically talked about a couple of moments ago.
And credit C.J. Carr because he was at all the recruiting events. He was recruiting those guys too. So
very true. 554. You can, of course, read more of Eric's work at InsideIndySports.com. And we'll have the results of our Twitter question of the day from yesterday and a brand new question today coming up next on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, your home of the Blue Gold game on Saturday, April the 20th. Sports Beat rolls on at 5:58. The publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com is Eric Hansen. I'm Darren Pritchett. Our Twitter question of the day results from yesterday's program. The question was this. Javante Jean-Baptiste led the 2023 Notre Dame football team with 5 sacks. Which of these choices has the best chance to lead the Irish in 2024? Your options were the transfer from Duke, R.J. Oben, who had 5 sacks for the Blue Devils last year. Choice 2, I would say he would have been the leading candidate at this time last year to be the leading sack guy, Jordan Botello. He ended up with 4. Your third choice, you get 2 for the price of 1. 2 elite players from the interior of the defensive line. Riley Mills, who had 2.5 sacks. Howard Cross, 2 sacks. And choice 4, you get to pick. It's like a smorgasbord. Other. Eric, your choice is?
Other.
Really?
Yeah, oh, I decided to go bold.
Okay. Talk to me.
Well, I think if I were going to pick one of the one, if other wasn't a choice, I would pick Botello. But I think there's going to be somebody that could surprise, and I think there's a lot of somebodies. I think there's 3 somebodies that could surprise.
Mm.
And you could even throw a linebacker in there, somebody like Jalen Snead. But I think Boubacar Traore could be it. I think Josh Burnham could be the guy. And I also think, get ready, Bryce Young could be the guy.
Bryce Young. Wow.
6'7", 250 pounds. He is coming.
I need to play this soundbite. Whoa.
Now, again,
a lot needs to happen.
I'm going out on a limb on this pick, too, but those 3 guys have been showing up in spring practice. I'm really eager to see them. But Bryce Young is – he's trending.
Hmm. A guy that very early in the recruiting process, there was not a lot of buzz about him.
And yet when I asked – last time we asked Marcus when he gave us the whole song and dance about, well, I don't want to throw too much on freshman, blah, 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 blah. And I don't blame him for saying that. And it's a bumpy road and all that. But Bryce Young, that was the first words out of his mouth. Of all the freshmen on the team, Bryce Young, I mean, on a team with CJ Carr, KVA, and all those guys, Bryce Young.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
And that wide receiver guy on his team last year, Gilbert, pretty dog. If it wasn't such a loaded wide receiver room, he could be more of a factor, and he still could be.
His name just keeps coming up. When you talk to his teammates, you say, who's kind of under the radar? Who's surprised? Micah Gilbert.
Okay. Bryce Young.
Who, they're from the same high school.
How did they lose a game? The other 20 starters must have been very, very weak or something. Okay. So that's very interesting. So put that in your back pocket going into the season. All right, so you're going other. All right, here are the results. 9.3% went with other. Not surprised,
okay.
It's not very specific. Third in the voting at 14.9 are our friends from the middle of the interior of that defensive line, Riley Mills and Howard Cross. It wouldn't shock me if they don't combine for more than 8 total sacks this year.
It wouldn't shock me either, and given who's on the edges too, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Second place in the voting at 37.1% is Jordan Botello. And barely topping Botello at 38.7%, the Dukie, R.J. Oben, who might benefit from fewer snaps this year.
We'll see.
There you go. So R.J. Oben barely beats out Jordan Botello, your guys' choice to lead the Irish in sacks in 2024. You can vote each day on my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat. And since we heard from Riley Leonard yesterday, and he says he's feeling good, this is kind of a loaded question because this could be injury. This could be someone else starting. Pick your poison. Today's question is this. Will Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard start at least 8 games during the 2024 regular season? So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. If that's what you think, the answer is yes. If you think it is 7 or fewer, you can answer no. I have no idea how this is going to go.
Okay.
Don't you agree? There's just a lot of variables that go into this question.
Absolutely.
Injury being first and foremost. So you can vote on my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat. Will Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard start at least 8 games during the regular season? Yes or no? I'm not going to ask you to answer today. I want to wait till tomorrow because I don't want you to influence the vote.
All right.
Because you might. I think you would.
Telepathically.
Thank you. I think I know what you just said there.
Okay.
All right. So, again, vote on Twitter X at 960SportsBeat. And this music tells us I need to let Eric speak because he needs to tell you what is happening right now at InsideIndySports.com.
I had my live chat today. I actually made it all the way through the question queue today. And so we have the questions and answers from that. Tyler James with recruiting this morning. The Heat Index focus narrows on Notre Dame's top targets in the 2025 class. We have video of Steve Angeli sharing his learning the new offense and progression this spring. Matt Zona committing to Fordham, a Notre Dame men's basketball player
Good
who
for
hit
him.
The portal. We had our Football Never Sleeps, so if you miss that, catch up on YouTube. We'll have a podcast tomorrow. And Darren, there is always much, much more.
And Eric will be back on this program tomorrow from 5 to 6, and we will go through some of those chat questions on tomorrow's program. Thank you, sir. Enjoyed it as always, and I'll talk to you in about, 22 hours and 55 minutes.
That sounds great.
That's Eric Hansen, publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.